This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are your closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. July corn, 474.5, up 1. September corn, 472.5, up 0.25. December corn, 471.75, down 0.25. July soybeans, 1505.25, up 35.5. August soybeans, 1430.75, up 25.5. September soybeans, 1307.25, up 22.5. July wheat, 664.25, down 6.25. September wheat, 675.25, down 5.25. December wheat, 692.25, down 4.75. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
This is Wednesday's report of grain prices and trends prepared by the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mixed late Wednesday afternoon. Corn ended on the positive with the weather being favorable to planting. Soybeans surged higher on commercial buying. Wheat closed lower on forecasted rain in the plains. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shelled corn mostly 1 cent higher at 444 to 473. Soybeans are up 37 to 46 cents at 1487 to 1519. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shelled corn mixed at 442 to 471. Soybeans are up 35 to 40 cents at 1502 to 1532. In the southern part of the state, elevators and mills reported shelled corn 1 to 2 cents higher at 454 to 489. Soybeans are 35 to 40 cents stronger at 1507 to 1537. Wheat was down 5 to 7 cents at 630 to 661. Illinois soybean processor cash bids were 36 to 41 cents higher at 1533 to 1560. Basis levels were unchanged to 5 cents stronger at 28 to 55 over the July. High protein soybean meal was up $11.40 per ton, with bids offered at 523.10 to 540.10. Basis levels were unchanged at 25 to 42 cents over the July. Illinois corn processor bids were 1 to 3 cents higher at 473 to 491, with the basis level steady to 2 cents stronger at 200 to 16 over the July. Illinois River barge loading elevators placed their producer corn market 1 cent higher at 479 to 481, with the basis unchanged at 4 to 6 over the July. Soybeans were 36 to 37 cents higher at 1518 to 1524. With the basis levels unchanged to a penny stronger at 13 to 19 cents over the July. New crop wheat bids were 1 to 5 cents lower at 637 to 644, with the basis levels 1 to 5 cents higher at 27 to 20 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn market 1 to 3 cents stronger at 501 to 504. These elevators raised their soybean bids 35 to 36 cents at 1541 to 1552. Soft wheat was 10 to 11 cents lower at 670 to 675. Milo closed a penny stronger at 490 to $5. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivery grain in northern and western Illinois. Fall delivery shell corn bids were quoted at 432 to 447. Fall delivery soybean bids ranged from 1214 to 1231. In central Illinois, fall delivery shell corn contracts were offered at 432 to 452. Fall delivery soybean contracts ranged from 1212 up to 1236. In the southern part of the state, fall delivery shell corn contracts were quoted in a range of 429 to 452. Fall delivery soybean contracts ranged from 1222 to 1252. And June-July delivery wheat contracts ranged from 634 to 655. This is John Ray reporting.
And here are your closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. June live cattle, 138.27, down 47 cents. August live cattle, 139.60, down 50 cents. October live cattle, 143.37, down 37 cents. May feeder cattle, 189.20, up 15 cents. August feeder cattle, 196.52, up 60 cents. September feeder cattle, 197.55, up 55 cents. June lean hogs, 119.92 up $1.32. July lean hogs 126.82 up $1.65. August lean hogs 128.72 up $1.62. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
The U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday the 21st afternoon livestock report. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 70 to 73, 4 to 5 weights 74 to 79, 5 to 6 weights 77 to 82, and 6 weights and up 80 to 85. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from 75 to 81. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 14,850 head. And now the report from United Producers Livestock Auction from May 20th. They had receipts of 557 head. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were 148 to 153. Select and choice 140 to 147. Select slaughter steers were 128 to 139, and choice slaughter Holstein steers 137 to 147.75. Select and choice Holstein steers 131.50 to 137, and select Holstein steers 124 to 131. Choice slaughter heifers 147.50 to 151.75, and select and choice heifers 140 to 147, and select heifers 130 to 135. Now on to the Fairview Livestock Auction. They had receipts of 227 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 146.50 to 153.25. Select steers were 139.50 to 145.25. Select Holstein steers 119. Choice slaughter heifers 147 to 153. Select and choice heifers 146 to 148.50. Select heifers were 130.25 to 143.25. On to the slaughter cows. Premium average dressing 105 to 109. High dressing 111. Breakers $100 to 105.25. And high dressing 105.25 to 134. Boners were 95 to 99.75, and leans 79.50 to 81.75. Slaughter bulls under 1,500 pounds, average dressing 108.75 to 110.75, with the high dressing 116.25. Bulls 1,500 pounds and up, 111.75 to 114.25, with the high dressing 115.50. to 122.75. Now in the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis were 145 to 146.50 and on a dress basis 232 to 234. Heifers on a live basis traded at 145 and on a dress basis at 232 to 234. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 412 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass, $114.92, that was $1.79 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses, $231.16, that was 93 cents higher, with select carcasses at $220.09, and that was $1.06 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 111,000, that compared to 117,000 last week and 126,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was 406,000, that compared to 411,000 last week and 412,000 a year ago. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. May corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.79. June corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.80. May corn delivered to Scottville, $4.70. June corn delivered to Scottville, $4.71. May and June beans delivered to Greenfield, $15.20. May and June beans delivered to Scottville, $15.09. May wheat delivered to Scottville, $6.39. Once again, their pre-opening prices are: corn at Greenfield is $4.79, corn at Scottville is $4.70, beans at Greenfield are $15.20, beans at Scottville are $15.09, and wheat at Scottville is $6.39. Crop insurance has been the linchpin of the farm safety net for years, according to Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack, who says it continues to grow as the single most important factor in protecting producers of all sizes from the effects of unpredictable weather. The 2014 Farm Bill requires a whole farm crop insurance policy option, and Vilsack announced on Wednesday the new whole farm revenue protection policy will provide flexible coverage options for specialty crop, organic, and diversified crop producers. He says this option gives farmers more flexibility, promotes crop diversity, and helps support the production of healthy fruits and vegetables. The program will be implemented in counties across the U.S. and expand in availability over the next several years. For more information, you can visit rma.usda.gov. The University of Illinois Extension is now offering a new website with in-depth cultural information about 31 popular and lesser-known herbs. Extension specialist Jane Scherer says the site also contains information on how to harvest herbs for top quality and includes ways to dry or freeze them, along with some tested recipes. In addition to this new website, Extension has introduced an Android app with information on ornamental grasses useful for Midwestern gardens. The app includes YouTube videos regarding these grasses and a feature where users can create a collection of photos of their own grasses or grasses they're considering. To visit the herb website, you can visit urbanext.illinois.edu/herbs. As you drive along the country roads, you can see corn and in some places beans now growing in the fields. I spoke with Brian Fairful of M&M Service Company for a look at crop conditions in the area.
Well, Angela, crops are starting to look dramatically better with the recent heat that we've had the past few days. A tremendous turnaround from last week and even Monday. The cool and wet week last week took a toll on all crops, making corn having that pale green to yellow look, especially in corn on corn fields where we have heavy organic material holding in a lot of moisture. Soybeans taking longer than normal to emerge, even some of them that I've looked at that aren't going to make it. Make sure we're out scouting all of our fields, checking stand counts, emergence issues. I've seen quite a few of emergence issues, more in soybeans than in corn. And then also our weed control systems, whether we've had our residual herbicides put on both crops, etc. As we travel north to south, east to west, crop staging is all over the board. Corn crops ranging up to not planted to V4 in height, starting to side dress in places. Soybeans shooting their first trifoliate in our northern parts of the counties.
Some soybean growers with beans coming up in the fields may have encountered an interesting problem with their pre-emergence sprays affecting their crop. Fairful went more in depth on what they were looking at.
Yes, we have had a few instances where the PPO inhibitors are pre-emerged soybean products have caused a little damage to those soybeans, mainly induced by the cold weather and wet weather. As we emerge, or as those soybeans emerge, and that chemical activated, we saw a little bit of burn on the hypocotyl end, even on the cotyledons. I do believe as we give these soybeans a little bit of time, some should come out. We will probably lose a few, but I would think the majority of them, in some cases, should come out.
This occurrence was the result of a perfect storm of conditions, but looking ahead, Fairful is optimistic.
Correct, yes. We apply the pre-emerge chemicals. They are our best control in soybeans for weeds, especially as we battle the tolerant to resistant water hemp and Palmer amaranth down south. So they're very, very, very critical in weed resistance management issues that were battling all over the state in Illinois. So it was kind of a perfect storm, I guess, if you say. We actually saw this problem a few weeks ago before. I've actually had some early beans planted, and they kind of grew out of it. We lost a few beans per foot, but for the most part, the majority of them came out of it. So I do believe you just want to keep an eye on them. Wait to see exactly, evaluate what your stands are going to be, what your population are going to be before we do anything to those beans. They're going to love this heat. They're going to start growing. We're going to be able to figure out whether or not we're going to have stands that are manageable through the growing season, stands that it will not be.
And the rains last week have delayed planting progress. Fairful gave a rundown on soil conditions and planting progress.
Correct. As we work our way north, there's a lot of field work going on. The majority of our crop up north is pretty well done. I would say we're probably 95, close to 100% planted in corn as we get north of 108. As we get south, there's a tremendous amount of corn that still needs to be planted, and there's a tremendous amount of beans that need to be planted. I know around the Carlinville area, we are still sort of wet in places, and as we move farther south, we're still a little wet. But it's drying up. This 85-degree temperatures is definitely helping situations and a little bit of wind. So I would say if we don't get any rain this evening or this afternoon, there'll be a lot of field work going on down south here in the next couple of days.
As we look ahead in the growing season, Fairful gave a rundown on what farmers may want to keep an eye out for.
Well, as we look into the future and into the next week or so, your young corn, especially down south, your black cutworm could be an issue. I have heard reports and seen reports of black cutworm on young emerged corn. So applying a pyrethroid-type herbicide over the top should give you good control of those pests. In wheat, armyworm, I've heard a few cases of armyworm in wheat, so be out there scouting your wheat fields. Now is the time, as we're starting to head out, armyworm can devour a wheat crop in a matter of days, so be on the lookout for armyworm in wheat, and it's also a good time to be applying foliar fungicides to our wheat crop also over the top, along with an insecticide to control those armyworms.
Fairful stressed that scouting is key right now if farmers hope to stay ahead of pesky weeds and insects.
Be out there scouting your field. We do have a few issues out in the fields. Be out there scouting them, figure out what we've got to do. I will say one thing. There's been a lot of cornfields that maybe don't have a chemical application on them, especially corn. Make sure we're applying a burn down and a residual herbicide utilizing multiple modes of action to burn down those pesky weeds that are growing as water hemp is starting to emerge, so we can stop the ones that are up and the ones that are just starting to emerge. So I would say that's going to be a critical thing, utilizing multiple modes of actions to battle our tolerant and resistant water hemp populations in these fields.
Again, that was Brian Fairful with the M&M Service Company. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.